So leaving the former things, I press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You know, you just got to roll with it. So this morning, I know that, you know, I was driving from Drayton Valley, and I started to pray. I said, Lord, what do you want me to bring to this church this morning? Because you know what? The Bible says the Spirit gives life, but the flesh profits nothing. And he said, Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. And so the reality is, if I'm not bringing you something from the Holy Spirit, then I have no business standing up here. Isn't that true this morning? And so I've been praying all morning. I've been saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And I could go in several directions this morning. I'm telling you, there are several directions. I have several words on my heart for you. Now, I know that God is going to bring it all together, but I started to pray. And as I was praying, God gave me a name. And I don't know, I just have to ask because, you know, when he drops a name into my heart, I've got to ask and just because, okay? Because I'm ministering two different places today. So the name that he dropped into my heart to pray for could be in the meeting tonight in Edmonton, okay? So I started to see the name Charlotte, and I don't know if there's a Charlotte here. Is there a Charlotte here? In here this morning? If there is, just put up your hand for me, okay? Don't be shy. Are you here this morning? It might be for tonight, so that's okay. I was praying for a lady this morning, and God really started to speak to me about her. And so I believe that I'm going to see her sometime today. That's how it works. That's how God works, okay? Several times in my life, I've been in that position, and I step into that place, and I have to just go with it, okay? And sometimes it's amazing what God does. You know, I know just a few years ago, I had a word of knowledge like that. I would call it a word of knowledge, by the way, very biblical. And God uses, how many of you know there's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit? And God speaks sometimes, gives us a word of knowledge, and he helps us see something that we wouldn't already know so that we can minister in a way that we couldn't do without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so anyways, I was in this place, and God showed me a man without with a thyroid problem and deafness in the ears. And I called him up, and anyways, the guy came forward and he said, I'm partially deaf in both of my ears. I thought it was two different people. And he showed me a person partially deaf in both ears, as well as a thyroid condition. Well, he said, I was born without a thyroid. I thought, that's pretty cool. Well, why would God show me that unless he wanted to heal the person? So we had him come up and we prayed for him. And 3 days later, he got an ultrasound. There was a thyroid there. I'm telling you, God still moves today. And God wants to move in this place, and he wants to touch people. He wants us to move with him, though. He's looking for people that will move with him, okay? And you know what? It doesn't matter how strong we are. Actually, in fact, God loves our weakness, okay? And he wants us to be weak because in our weakness, we can actually find out how strong we are in Christ. See, it's when you're weak, then you're made strong. See, our faith and our power is being perfected in weakness. And so Paul said, he said very plainly, he said, when I came to you, I came in weakness and much trembling. That's the Apostle Paul. Now, we kind of exonerate him in a lot of, like, we lift him up in a lot of ways. But Paul was no different than you or I. Paul was just a man, no different. He was filled with the Spirit of God. He had the Lord Jesus Christ on the inside of him. But he knew who he was. He knew that Christ in him, the hope of glory, he knew that as he moved, as he lived and moved and had his being, that as he went out, that Christ went with him, you know? And that's something that we need to know today. We need to know that when we go in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I started praying this morning. God showed me several things, but one of the things, it was kind of interesting, as we were coming out of Drayton Valley, by the way, my wife sends greetings this morning too, okay? She couldn't be here today. She's with our daughter. She's actually starting a new job today, so Tracy's driving her there, and she's still in the process of doing that whole driver's license thing. So we're almost out of this stage of child-rearing years. We have one more year. Actually, this is our last year, and man, I think our son's already doing Bible college in the city, so that's pretty amazing, and we're just trusting God for where we're all going, you know? And us, too, we're praying about direction and wanting to know what God is doing and what God's saying for us as well. So you guys can keep us in your prayers. We started to put our name out for some churches and stuff like that, and we don't know what God has in mind for the next season, but we've been 2 years now on the road full-time, and I'll tell you what, God, we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning too. God knows how to meet us right where we are. How many of you know that's true today? God is everything you need, church. Everything you need, all sufficiency is found in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. So I was driving out of Drayton Valley, and I had the privilege of driving over a freshly killed skunk. Well, I don't know if that's ever happened to you before, But I drove over this skunk. And for miles and miles and miles, all I could hear, all I could smell was the skunk. And I'm like, Lord, why did I have to drive over the skunk? And I'm driving and driving, and it seems like the further I drove, the more the skunk smelled. And I'm like, did it just attach itself to my car and just hang out on my car? And it was so bad, the smell. It was right in the cab of my car. I tried to roll down the window so that the smell would leave, and it just wouldn't leave. It wasn't dissipating. And I said, Lord, why did I have to drive over this skunk today? I'm like going to drive into Drayton or Slave Lake, and I'm going to smell like a skunk. They're going to say, what's the matter with you this morning? Well, anyways, I really felt the Lord speak to me very plainly. And he said, I want you to be a sweet-smelling aroma of my presence this morning. Do you realize that wherever you go, you're to be a sweet-smelling aroma of Christ in every place? That's what God's called you to do. That's what he was speaking on my heart this morning. He said, I want you, as my people, to be a sweet-smelling aroma of me in every place. So that means wherever you go, I want people to see me. I want people to notice me. Everything you do, I want people to know that I'm with you. Paul said when in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, and my preaching wasn't in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith would not rest on men, but it would rest upon God. You see, the man doesn't need to see us. They need to see Christ in us. How many of you know that's true today? See, because when you go out in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you start to become a light, when you become tasty for Jesus, they get to see Jesus in you. I have this one illusion I do. Sometimes we do the Rodzilla side of things, and I do this little thing called tasty for Jesus, and I make this salt disappear. And you know, the Bible says, you know, that we're the salt of the earth, and if the salt loses its flavor, what good are we, you know? And so what happens is I bring the salt back, and it's kind of a cool little illusion. I wanted to do that this morning also, but I kind of forgot what I needed to do it. Anyways, you know, that's the way it works sometimes. Anyways, so here I was thinking about it. I'm like, we have to be tasty for Jesus. If we're salty, and if we're full of light, we're full of love, God's presence is in us. Wherever we go, people are going to see Jesus. And I'll tell you what, the greatest thing they could see, I had a lady, I was in Ukraine, this is a few years back, and I was sitting there, and she came up to me in her Ukrainian, and she actually, I think she was speaking in Russian, didn't make any difference to me because I couldn't speak in either of them. And they were translating, and she said, you know, she said, I really see Jesus on you. And you know, it was the greatest compliment that anybody could have ever given me, to say, I see Jesus on you. Do you realize that I see Jesus on you this morning? One of the greatest compliments we can ever get as the men and women of God is to have Jesus Christ on us, to have him in us. In fact, the apostle said, in him we live and move and have our being. So wherever I go, I'm in him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:30 that God placed us in Jesus Christ. So we're in him. And so as I walk in him, I live and I move and I have my being. As the Holy Spirit leads me, I go. See, kind of like the wind. People ask me, what are you going to do next year? I have no idea. What are you going to do next week? I have no idea. How are you going to make everything happen? How are you going to pay your bills? I have no idea. But I do know one thing. I do know one thing, that Christ is in me and Christ goes before me. This last year was amazing. The first of the year, the beginning of the year, the first 3 months, we had 3 months where there was no bookings at all, zero. And as an evangelist, when you don't have any bookings, that's a bad situation. How many of you know what I'm saying? Well, here we were praying. We were in a season of praying. I wrote 5 books during that time, children's books. And I'm finishing my second full-length book now called Shake the Dust, and that should be out before Christmas. I'm believing God for that. But here we were in a position where we just didn't know what God was doing. How many of you have ever been there before? Anybody? You just don't know. God, what are you doing? This doesn't make any sense. Lord, even we started the year with such an anticipation of amazing things that were coming. How many of you have been there before? You just knew something good was about to happen. And so we went in there and we were praying. My wife and I, we were excited. We knew we were anticipating something incredibly amazing. And yet the first 3 months of the year, no income, no jobs, no opportunities. All of a sudden, everything went flatlined. I felt like I was laid up on the table and my heart had been cut out, and I felt like I was just flatlined there. There was nothing happening. And yet I knew that God was about to do something. And you know, this lady, one day, we were just about to pay our rent. It was a couple days from the, you know, we'd already exhausted our extra finances that we'd saved up. And you know, it was like a couple of days and we were supposed to pay our rent. And this lady phones me up. She said, Pastor Rodney, she said, I was out for a jog. And while I was jogging, God put you on my heart, and I'm supposed to give you $1,000. And I thought, oh, that sounds like God. How many of you know when somebody calls you up and says, I think I'm supposed to give you $1,000, that sounds like God, doesn't it? Well, you know what? That's exactly what we needed. Then one of the opportunities that we had to preach, actually, in fact, the only one we had coming into the year, canceled on us because there was a flood in their basement. Here I was, the only opportunity. You gotta understand, we go from faith to faith and glory to glory. We're moving from one moment to the next, trusting God in every moment and every step. That's how we work. And you know, all of a sudden, that opportunity that we had was gone. How do you know, like, at that moment, your heart just wants to sink? But the Bible says, set your minds on the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. See, he wants to get us focused on the waves and on the things that are around us. And when we're focused on those things, we lose sight of the one who can bring us through. We lose sight on the God of the breakthrough. And you see, in that very moment, my heart began to sink. The only thing I could do was look up to heaven and call out to him and say, God, you have the solution. And you know, that weekend, it was amazing that my opportunity canceled and I went to church that Sunday. This is another thing that took place. I'm sitting in church, and I didn't share with everybody. You know, I'm not one of those guys that stands up there and prays in front of everybody, Lord, thank you that God, my car's transmission's gone, and you know, letting everybody know my circumstances. That's not my deal. I give it to God. The Bible says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. So here I was casting my cares upon the Lord, and I was worshiping him with everything in me, in my circumstance. Well, and I get this text in the morning, okay? This is another one of those godly texts that you want to receive, okay? I get this text. Yeah, Pastor, I'm supposed to give you money. And so, again, somebody gave us $500. And by the end of the service, somebody had come up to us and given us another $600 to cover our rent again. 2 months. You know, if I wouldn't have been in that service, what I would have gotten in the church that I was going to minister in was about a fifth of what I got that Sunday morning just from trusting God. You got to understand, church, that God sees the bigger picture. God has already gone before you. He already knows what you're going to go through before you go through it. You know, the Bible says that when you call out to him, he already sees. He already knows. And that's the amazing thing. So I spent a whole year just walking in this faith journey with him. And actually, just the last 7 months has been just a faith walk, one thing after the next, watching what he does. Not knowing what's around the corner, but knowing that what's around the corner is good because God is good and he's got the best things in store for us if we would put our faith and trust in him. Do you realize this morning that nothing ever happens to you? It happens for you. See, your perspective this morning means everything. Well, I was just finished ministering a few weeks ago. We were up at a tent meeting in northern Alberta, and we gave up everything to go there. And I went there not knowing, actually, in fact, I went there not expecting to get anything. I went up there to minister, to love on people. And so when I got there, I spent a whole weekend. And you know, after the weekend, the guy came up and he gave me this check, and it was amazing. I couldn't believe it. This guy spent like $30,000 on a brand new tent. He's a farmer. He's just a man of faith. He went and he did all these things. And then he hands me money. In his deficit, he hands me money. Well, I'm leaving the property, and I get the phone call from Slave Lake here. We still have a property up here in Slave Lake. It's our house. It never sold. But God showed me it wouldn't sell for 7 years. So we're trusting him with it. So we rented it. Anyways, we get this phone call, and, oh, yeah, your basement flooded. My basement's underwater in Slave Lake. Okay, what happened was the water tank exploded, and there's water everywhere. What a great thing to hear after you finish spending a weekend of ministry. So guess what? The money that they gave me as a blessing was given so that I could take care of the next thing. See, God knew that my basement was going to flood far before I ever knew it was going to flood. Far before I got the phone call. But you know what? Nothing ever happens to you, it happens for you. Let me tell you what happens from here. I get my basement remodeled, fully taken care of. It was starting to get older, and it needed to be redecorated. And so I get this beautiful new basement, okay, taken care of. Well, I got to cover a little bit for that, but I'm just saying to you, listen, we just need to look at things in the right perspective. I could have went away from there and whining and complaining. I could have said, you know what? Why, God? Why can't we just get ahead? Why can't we just step into the next? Or I could have said, you know what? There's something good coming out of this. And there is. My basement's being looked after now. It takes a little bit of time sometimes for all that insurance and all the stuff to be taken care of. But you know what? Sometimes that's the plan, right? Sometimes we just got to step into the plan. And it might not look like we want it to look, but we've got to step into it. Listen, I got to open up something here. Let me read something to you. How many of you want to be more like Jesus? Anybody?
I hope so.
I'll tell you what, we need to be tasty for Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's see if that's the one I'm looking for. I was on my way out of the house, and you can imagine, a preacher, okay? I forgot my Bible this morning. Imagine that. I'm supposed to get up. Imagine going out into the field as a mechanic, right? And you forget your truck. You forget your tools. Well, I forgot my Bible this morning, but thanks be to God that there is another Bible that I have. It's inside here, okay? The Word of God has been richly deposited in me so that, you know, if I run into a situation where I just find that I need, I'll tell you what, in that moment, God said, I'll give you what to speak. I'll put it on your mouth and you'll be filled. You have no worry about it. And I've learned to just kind of rest in those things. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, yeah, that's the verse I needed. It says in verse 7, listen to this. It says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We are always carrying about in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. I realized that one of the purposes of the trials and the sufferings and some of the things that we go through, one of the main purposes is so that we can die, so that Christ can live. How many of you know what I'm saying this morning? See, it's only in those circumstances sometimes that we call out to the Lord Jesus Christ. We reach out to him and we say, oh God, come and help me. But you might be going through things this morning and you just don't know how you're going to get through. You don't know, you don't yet have a way out. But I'll tell you what, these momentary light afflictions that you go through are going to produce in you a greater weight of glory. There's something greater happening to you in those circumstances and in those times where they become a sweet aroma of Christ in every place. You see, because of your breaking, because of the things that take place on the inside of you when you're going through these things, what's happening? There is something going on the inside that's being released as you're being crushed, pressed but not crushed. As persecution comes, you're not abandoned. You realize that God is already with you. He's always with you. And you realize that no matter what, that God is always doing something on the inside of you. You might be going through something this morning, but I want you to know that there is a greater weight of glory coming to you. that there is a pressing on you, but it is going to release the goodness of God if you allow it. How many of you know what I'm saying this morning? If you want the goodness of God to be released in your life, then when times like this come into your life, then you need to receive it with joy. Consider it all joy, my brethren. Maybe this is why they said these words. When you experience various trials and testings. Why? Because of what they produce. There's a greater weight of glory that's being produced in those momentary light afflictions, those things that you experience in your life. Well, here I was back in January, February, and March. Actually, it's more like into May before things started to turn around. We still had an anticipation deep down in our spirit that something was going to happen. We were just like, man, there was no bookings into the summer. There was nothing ahead. We couldn't see ahead. It was like seeing through a glass dimly. We couldn't see anything. And I started praying. I'm like, Lord, do you want me to put my name in for some churches? What do you want me to do? Do you want me to pastor again? What do you want me to do? I'm your guy. So I started to put my name in. And a church from, actually, it was an Alliance church, actually, in Ontario, they called me. They said, Pastor Rod, yeah, we'd like to talk to you about this. It was like right in the yes zone. But I didn't have peace. No peace. The Bible says, let your heart be governed by peace. Let the peace of God govern you. When you don't have peace, guess what? You don't go. We started to pray, and the more I started to pray, the more I realized it wasn't it. And yet, still nothing else on around me. I go east, but he's not there. I go west, but he's not there. I go to the north, he's not there. I go to the south, he's nowhere to be found. But I know this very thing, that once I've been tried, I'll be like gold refined in a fire. Many of us want to be like Jesus, but we don't want what it takes to be like Jesus. See, you need to know that deep down inside you, that you're already like Jesus. Your spirit is 100% like Jesus because it comes from him. But there's a transformation that needs to take place to line up with what's happened on the inside of you to bring about the character and nature of Jesus Christ. But that can only happen through life. That can only happen as we walk by faith. When we're pressed but not crushed. The pressings, the times of pressings, the times of persecutions, the times of struggles. When we realize that God is doing a greater work on the inside. Isn't that awesome? You need to know this morning. I feel like I'm speaking to some people this morning. You need to know that you're going through stuff. But I'll tell you what, everything you are going through, God will redeem. God will make good. Because the Bible promises that. He said, God works all things for good for those who love him or are called according to his purpose. What does that mean? Does that mean everything's gonna be rosy all the time? No. But what it means is the very thing that Christ started in your life, to make you like him, to form you into his image. Right from the foundation of the world, he called us to be conformed to his image and his likeness, to be like him. So the very thing we asked him to do, his purposes will always bring us toward that mark so that we can be like him. Isn't that awesome? So he'll take your circumstance, even in your greatest failings, and he'll take that moment, and he'll turn it around, and he'll make good come of it, and he'll bring you more into the character and nature of Christ if you allow him to do it. He says, faithful as he who's called you will also bring it to pass. Do you realize that God is faithful this morning? But we need to see things from the right perspective. I was in a native church there a few weeks ago, and I was praying again going into the service, and I said, God, what do you want me to share at this church? And he told me what to share. And I got up there, and it was only for 5 minutes. I was supposed to give like kind of like a pre-message. If you've ever been to a meeting one of these revival meetings that they have, you'll have like 5 or 6 preachers. Anybody know that's true? Okay, sometimes you'll have 5 preachers. I was one of maybe 5 preachers there that night. So I walked in, and the word that God showed me was very plain. He said, tell them that they are no longer rejected but accepted. Let me get the word. I think it's really important. Because some of us need to hear this morning. Because we still see ourselves like we were. How many of you still see yourself sometimes like weak, like that sinner of old? Anybody still see yourself that way? Let me kill that. Okay? I want to kill that this morning. We're going to kill that whole thing. Give me a second here. Here we go. In 2 Corinthians 5:16, it says, no longer regarded from a fleshy point of view. It says, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, listen to this. From now on, somebody say now on. From now on, from this moment forward, whenever I hear those terms, like those therefore or so that, those kinds of things, those are really important to take notice to because there's something that's taking place from that moment. So it says, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Watch this. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Let me give you a story to help nail this home. I love this. A couple of years ago, you know, I've changed a little bit. Some of you could see I've lost a little weight and stuff. I lost it a while ago. I still managed to keep it off, praise the Lord. I was in Tim Hortons in Slave Lake here. Now, I'd been here for 10 years. Some of you that don't know us, we pastored for 10 years. And I was in Tim Hortons, and I said hello to this girl that I baptized that was in my church for 10 years. I carried her in her basket, okay, this little girl. And I said hello to her. And you know what? This girl didn't recognize me. And I said, it's Pastor Rod. She said, no, you're not. She argued with me. I almost had to pull. I didn't have my driver's license, or maybe I should have pulled it out, but she didn't recognize me. She didn't have any clue who I was. It happened to me in Westlock, too. I was sitting there, and one of the guys that I was pastoring in Slave Lake, he come through the door, and he's looking around like this because we were supposed to meet and have coffee. He didn't realize that I'd lost some weight, and he looks around, and he's looking around for Pastor Rod, and I said, Jovan, I'm right here. And he's like, no. But this girl, I was in Tim Hortons here, and she didn't recognize me. I said, don't you remember? I'm the one who, I baptized you. In fact, I think I baptized her in the tank back here, in this place. And she argued with me. She wouldn't accept the fact that I was her pastor that had baptized her, that had spoken to her parents' life, into her life for 10 years. She wouldn't receive it. In fact, she turned away from me in the Tim Hortons line. She never said another word to me. It was almost, who's this creep talking to me? And I thought to myself, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. But when I read this verse, watch what happens. I love this. Listen, it says, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. When Jesus was on the road to Emmaus, after he'd been crucified, after he was standing there talking to some of the disciples, and they didn't recognize him. And I thought about this for a moment. I thought, you know, this is what was going on. There was such a dramatic, drastic change that happened to me physically, and perhaps the Lord Jesus too. There was a change that had happened to him so dramatically that the people who had been with him, that the girl who had been with me couldn't recognize me anymore. And the Bible says that each one of you has undergone the same change. It says, for those who are in Jesus Christ, they're a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So imagine this for a moment. Imagine you're sitting in Tim Hortons, and everybody that knew you to be a certain way no longer recognizes you. Why? Because you're brand new. Because you look different. Because there is such a dramatic change on the inside of you that you are no longer who you were. That person, you see, the person that I was, I no longer was. I no longer am. We need to see ourselves this way. See, because many of us still see ourselves like that old, broken down old record from way back, the sinner. You know what? The Bible says that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you've already passed from death to life. But if you reject the Son of God, the Bible says the wrath of God still abides on you. But there's something that changed in you the moment that you believed. You went from being a sinner to a saint. In one side of the cross, you were a sinner. This side of the cross, you're a saint. This side of the cross, you're the old creature. This side of the cross, you're a new creation in Jesus Christ. See, church, we have to stop looking at ourselves the way we were. The Bible says we no longer see Christ according to this way. See, Christ isn't hanging on the cross anymore. He's no longer broken, bleeding, and dying. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And one day, he will ride in with a white horse. He will conquer. He's not the same as when he hung on the cross, the suffering servant. He's now the conquering king. And in the same way that we're no longer to see him that way, we're no longer to see ourselves in that way either. That's what you were. This is what you are. See, the moment I started to realize that I'm a son of God, that I'm a child according to his promise, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, seated in heavenly places, I started to see my identity is in him. And when I start to see my identity in him, when I look in the mirror, when I see scriptures that say, as he is in this world, so are we. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. We recognize these things. All of a sudden, we begin to move in a different way. See, because over here on this side of the cross, you're powerless. You've got no victory. You're dead in trespasses and sins. But the Bible says the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has caused you to transcend trespasses and sins. The Spirit of life on the inside of Jesus Christ is inside of you, and so you're rising above. There is a transformation that's taken place. You're no longer that person over there. But if that's the case, then why do we live as though we're still on that side of the cross? I know there's coming a day when we're going to put off this body of like, this weak flesh. We're going to put it off. How many groan some days? I remember sitting there one day. I put my feet on the floor. I drive bus sometimes. I drive school bus, relief bus sometimes. I cover, and here I was, I put my feet on the floor, and man, all these new aches and pains sometimes, you know, like that genie in Aladdin, 2,000 years, such a crook in the neck, you know, you get that once in a while, anybody like that? And you know, we're going to feel those things, we groan, but we also know after that, there's something here that's beautiful in this passage. We're not supposed to see ourselves like that old man anymore. I'm Rodney, God's son, called according to his purpose, heir of the promise of God. That's who you are today. You say, well, you know, some of you say, well, you know, I'm the guy who works out at the mill. That's who I am. No, that's not who you are. That's something that you do. I'm not Rod the minister. This is what I do. That's not who I am. I'm a son of God. When I wake up, when I go to bed at nighttime, I'm a son of God. You can't change that fact. That's who I am. I'm Rod, God's son. And I'll tell you what, when we start to get that, church, on the inside of us, then nothing in this world will ever hinder us anymore. It might hinder your flesh a little bit. You might go through those momentary light afflictions like I was saying earlier. You might be pressed, but I guarantee you, you're not going to be crushed. You might be persecuted, but you will not be destroyed or struck down, because Christ in you is greater than that. And the destiny that's on your life this morning is greater. Christ in you is greater than every circumstance you'll ever face in your life. But we have to keep ourselves looking to Him, looking unto Him, the author and finisher. Looking unto Him. Keep looking up. Keep focused on the right thing. Because when I focus, I don't know about you, but when I focus on what's going on in my life sometimes, it's too much. Anybody ever feel that? It's just too much. Oh, Lord, could you just take me home? Anybody ever say that prayer? God, please, just take me home. I'll just go home now. You know what? Jesus said, I don't pray. Father, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that while they're in the world, that you'd be with them. And God says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Do you realize that? If God wanted you out of this world, He would take you. Do you realize that this morning? The reason that you're sitting here looking at me is because God has chosen you to be here in this moment. So in this very moment of time, until I go home to be with the Lord, His plans and purposes for me are sure. Some of you are saying this morning, I don't know what to do with the rest of my life. What am I going to do with my life? The world's your oyster. It's all yours. Everything the Father has planned for you since the foundation of the world is for you. It's yours. Go out and take it. One day I was praying. I relate things in stories. This is how I do it. I hope that's okay. I was praying. I was like in the wilderness. I was praying for this God to come and touch my finances and help me through. And God began to speak to me, and He said this. He said, Rod, why are you looking for manna? He said, you're talking to me as though you're in the wilderness looking for manna. Don't you realize that I crossed over for you? I crossed over for you so that you can come into the promised land. You don't have to ask me for manna. I want you to come in past that into your inheritance. I want you to know that you're my son and that I have an inheritance for you. I don't want you to beg for bread. See, the children of God don't have to beg for bread. Do you realize that this morning? That you're not out in the wilderness. Jesus said, I overcame the world so you can what? Beg for bread? No way, man. He overcame so that you can be an overcomer. That's what God has for you this morning. I hope this word is spoken to you. I really feel like these are the words that I was supposed to share with you. But I want to pray. There's some people here this morning that have been just going through stuff. And you need a breakthrough. Maybe you need a healing in your life. I love to pray for people for healing because I've seen so many miracles in my life. I love to see what God can do. I've seen God heal cancers and diabetes and Parkinson's and all kinds of things. I don't know what you have going on in your life that maybe need a healing, but I'm going to invite you in just a moment to come. I'm not going to be Pentecostal. We're not going to do some kind of crazy jumping up and down and all this. We're not going to roll down the aisles after all this is over. I'm going to simply do what the Bible says to do. The Bible says, and they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen? It doesn't say they might recover. Says they shall recover. I'm going to believe God for you. You need a touch in your body. If there's anybody here that needs healing this morning, I want to pray for you. If you need a breakthrough in your marriage, also, if you're here this morning, I've been praying for wombs a lot. This is kind of a strange thing, isn't it? Wombs? Not rooms, wombs. W-O-M-B-S. There's people that can't have babies, and I've been praying for them too. I've seen God open up a lot of wombs. It's just something he's just got me to do. If there's anybody like that this morning, maybe you've been going through depression, you just need a touch from God. Can we do that this morning? I don't know if you guys have like a some music you can kind of play in the background, not for ambience sake, but just to sort of, you know, just allow us to be like, is there anybody here that needs prayer this morning? Let me pray for you. Come up here. Let me see you. I'm just going to stand here all by myself until you come. Faith. Sometimes we need to step out of our seats. Amen? Yeah. Let me pray for you. Let's see God do something this morning. Amen? Are you sure there's no Charlotte here this morning too? Because I was praying for Charlotte this morning. Is there a Charlotte here? Are you shy? What's that? Is there a Charlotte that's not here this morning that usually is? Maybe it's tonight I'm supposed to pray for her.